السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. While I was sitting there, one thought came to my mind that from the minbar or from the front, the podium, so many bayans take place, and many bayans, waaz, nasihat, it becomes a means of hidayat. Many people get connected with Allah Ta'ala, people decide to give up a life of sin, they make tawbah, they make istighfar, and they turn to Allah Ta'ala. But in the same way, from the very podium, from the stage, sometimes if the speaker has to slip, if he is a slippery character, and he slips, and he says wrong things, then that too can have a negative impact. So I appeal to all of you that make dua, all our elders, ulama, students of deen, huffaz, that make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly give us ikhlas that we are sitting here only for Allah ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the objective of our sitting here the reformation of our lives. We want to reform, we want to change ourselves, we want to make ruju ila Allah. We want to turn to Allah ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the speaker from saying anything that will make us go further away from Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala protect the listeners from misunderstanding something that will take them further away from Allah ta'ala. And Allah Rabbul Izzat keep us all on sirat mustaqim, make our sitting here beneficial, and Allah ta'ala be pleased with us, Allah ta'ala accept it. Our Hazrat Maulana Hassan Saab, Allah Ta'ala give him Shifa'i Kamila, Ajila Mustamirra Daima, and all our Asatiza, our Mashayikh, our Akabirin, and whoever is not well, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give them Shifa'i Kamila, Ajila Mustamirra Daima. Ameen. So, before we get on to the discussion itself, it is part of the discussion. Our Hazrat Moin Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to become very, very upset when the masjid is disrespected. Voices are raised in the masjid. This used to really upset him. To the point that he eventually stopped performing nikahs in the masjid. If anybody came and they wanted to perform a nikah, so in the sehen of the masjid, Hazrat had the sound person to put a jack there and connect the sound system there. Because people, he said, don't listen. No matter how many times you tell them about the adab of the masjid, immediately after the nikah, you find so much of noise. People are meeting and greeting and clapping and everything is happening. So he said, now people don't want to listen. So the best thing to do is rather have the nikah outside the masjid. So now if they are making noise in the sehen, then at least they are not disrespecting the masjid itself. Our Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, every now and again he speaks about this in the majlis. That when we are coming for salah, then we must think in our mind that I am going to meet Allah Ta'ala. I am going for a meeting with Allah Ta'ala. So now when a person is going with that mindset that I am going for a meeting with Allah Ta'ala, now how his behavior will be, how his dressing will be, he will worry about every aspect. And when he comes into the masjid, then his mind is only on Allah Ta'ala because he came to meet Allah Ta'ala. He didn't come to meet friends. He didn't come to make some gupchup. He didn't come to see who got one ultra selling cheap. No. He came to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he'll come with that mindset. He'll come and sit down quietly. And he will read his salah with sukoon. And when he is finished, then he will leave with respect, with that longing that when I'm going to come back. When is the next salah that I'm going to come back? And you'll find this person who comes with this kind of mindset, he'll never make noise in the masjid. He won't make noise in the sehen of the masjid while other people are reading salah. He won't even make noise in the shoe area. He won't even make noise when he's leaving. Why? Because he has got the greatness of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. These people are talking to Allah Ta'ala, I can't disturb them. Just think, if a father has to tell his son, that see, I'm phoning now to make one deal. Right? And if this deal comes right, then whatever motor car you want is yours. I'll buy it for you. Now the son is sitting there, the father is on the phone, and he is discussing with the client, with the customer. How attentive that son will be. He's not going to make no noise. Even the pinging on his phone, he'll put on silent. Then I mustn't make no noise now, because if this deal goes through, then my work is sorted out. So when a person, he has got that azmat for Allah Ta'ala, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala in his heart, and he sees people talking to Allah Ta'ala, then immediately say, who am I now to come in between here and make noise while this person is talking to Allah Ta'ala? So we must be very, very careful in the masajid, in the musallas, we're going for salah, how we're behaving, parking lot, shoe area, sehen, we come into the masjid. This dunya chakkar, this thing carries on. Gapchup carries on. This, I have to give that person this information, I have to tell this person this. That will all carry on. But the time that we're taking out to come and talk to Allah Ta'ala, so that must be exclusive. Exclusive. That is time out for Allah Ta'ala alone. Nothing else must come in between there. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. This topic of Islah, Reformation, so many young people, the old people, mashallah, they know, but the young people, they come and they say that, no, I want to make my Islah. So what is this Islah? What is this Bay'at? So one person came to Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he said, I want to bat with you. He didn't know how to pronounce the word bay'ah. He said, no, I want to bet with you. So he might be taught like bet, you know, it's a make bet. So they want to know, what is this bay'ah? What is this Islah? Where do I start? How do I go about it? And how do I know who to choose? Which person I must choose to make my Islah? Who must I take bay'ah to? Which majalis must I attend? And what must I communicate with my sheikh? What am I supposed to tell him? I'll give him my high school stories, my university stories. Or what am I supposed to be discussing with him? Right? So we need to understand that when it comes to Islah, as Maulana mentioned just now, that this was one of the functions of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, to assist the community to purify themselves. Right? So when we talk about Islah, the objective, right, is we want to bring about so much of Allah consciousness, bring this Allah consciousness into us, that at every given time, whatever the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directed to me at that time, I must carry it out in the manner that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me. In other words, I want to bring my life in the obedience to Allah Ta'ala and the obedience to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to follow everything, all the positive commands and all the negatives. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, as Mohammed Spatial Sam Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say that in this electricity, you need a positive wire, you need a negative. Then you will get power. So like that, in our lives, we have certain ahkam of Allah Ta'ala, things that we have to do. We are instructed. Do this, carry this out, read your salah, eat with the right hand, all things that we have to do. So those are the positives. And then there are the negatives. Don't do this. Don't wear your pants below your ankle. Don't misuse your gaze. Don't swear. Don't have pride. So all these are the negatives. So when we are going to bring these two together, that we're making amal on the positives and we are abstaining from the negatives, then this current doesn't shock you. Doesn't shock you. This current here, it creates shock. There's no shock. It creates shock. This current brings such shock that now the only thing you want is to make my Allah happy. That becomes my desire. That becomes my shock. That my Allah Ta'ala must be razi with me. When my Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sees me on the day of Qiyamah, then he must be happy with me. This ummati of mine, he did well. We get happy. Youngster is going for his license, driver's license. He passes. Parents are waiting for the call. Kya hua? Now got it. Now the father, he keeps telling that fellow, you don't know how to drive, man. You're burning the clutch. You're pressing too much the brake. This thing. But when his son got the license, right, that's all the noise you hear in the shoe area. He's telling all his light, he got it. Yeah, he got his light. Got it. Father is proud. The pride that the father takes in the accomplishments of the son is nowhere near the happiness Huzur Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will show at the accomplishments of his ummati. No one can love like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No human. The only one that can love more than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah Rabbul Izzat. No one can love. Our mother can't love us as much as she may try. Our father cannot love us. Our wife cannot love us. How Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can love? So imagine the joy, the happiness. When on the day of Qiyamah, now you are going forth and Huzur Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that eye of nubuwat, with that eye of being the Nabi of this ummat. And he can see now that this is my ummati. His face is shining. His hands are shining. His feet are shining. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is waiting there. That my ummati must come forward. I want to give him from my house. I want to give him from Hawz al-Kawthar. That this is my ummati. I wasn't even there. But he held on to my sunnah. He held on to my legacy. What I left behind, no matter what challenges he faced, whatever the challenges may have been, he made that mujahada, he fought his nafs, he went against the tide, people called him everything, they told him everything, they made him feel like a loser, he was the arku in the kebab, he was left out from the chat groups and everything, because he only comes with these pious stories, so chore they leave him one side. On that day, when that wary ummati is going to come, he traversed all these tests from small, he went through everything he did. And he held on, stuck. And now he comes to Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of prize giving. On the day of prize giving. Wallahi, that meeting with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Hashr, that receiving the goblet from Hawd-e Kawthar, the Mubarak hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you think about it, then one wonders that maybe it is like on the day of Jalsa, a Jalsa day of a student, youngster has completed his hifz, completed his alim course, or the daughter is getting married, the son is getting married, and how the father will meet that son, check that everything is, the father may take out that one very expensive oud and put for him a little bit. I say, right now you go for your nikah, bachu, go for your nikah. So this ummati now has to present himself in front of Allah Ta'ala for hisab kitab. Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will meet him and give him a drink from Hawd-e Kawthar. And now my ummati, you go and present yourself. Go and present yourself. You're going to Allah Ta'ala, go and present yourself now. And when Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they asked Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be so many people there. I'm just giving you the mafhum, it may not be the exact words. So many people there on the day of Qiyamah. Where are we going to find you? Where will we find you? Did the thought cross us, cross our mind, that on the day of Qiyamah, we heard this about Hawd-e Kawthar, so many times we heard, from Maktab we're hearing. But did it ever trouble me one night? One night did it trouble me that on the day of Qiyamah, how am I going to find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You tell a person, you say, no, I'm arranging a vehicle to pick you up. They'll come pick by phone number, please. Give me the number of the driver. Give the driver my number so that some rapta. You're going somewhere by where we're going to meet. Send me pin location. Send me coordinates. Before, in the old days, we used to talk about landmarks. You come here, you see that building, turn right, turn left, you'll find me there. Today they say, by send your live location, pun location, send. So we worry about all this in the dunya. We're going to visit somebody, by send me the address, send me the pun location. This journey of ours we're going, where are we going? This journey is to go to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. Is to go and stand in front of Allah Ta'ala on Maidan-e-Hashr. Where's the coordinates for that? So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were worried. Because to them it was real. For us it's a storybook. We haven't brought yaqeen on it. This is why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, he said on the day of Qiyamah, when we will see Jannat, Jahannam with our eyes, it won't increase anything in us. Because such conviction we got. We know it's there. So this thought doesn't cross our mind that now, where am I going to find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the thought crossed their mind. That Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where will we find you? And the jawab that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them, this is a jawab of love. A jawab of so much of concern that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has for each one of us. That where, every place where we will need encouragement, we will need that support, we will need that motivation, that's where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be. You look for me at the Hawd. Or you look for me at the scales. You look for me at the Sirat. Every way where we will be tested, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be there. I'll be moving around between these places. So this love, where are you going to get it? Where are we going to get this kind of love? So when these two come together, we bring the positives into our life. We stay away from the negatives. Now we have a current. Now we have a current. This current of love creates a shauk. That shauk to make Allah Ta'ala happy. That I must not be a failure. I must not be a disappointment to my Nabi. I only want to do everything that makes my Allah Pak happy, makes my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy. And this love only grows. Just as every other sifat of Allah Ta'ala is la mahdood. There's no limit. The power of Allah, there's no limit. The greatness of Allah, there's no limit. The mercy of Allah, there's no limit. There is no limit to this also. There's no limit to this. I remember one person, I think he's here also. So when he just completed his Alim course or Iftar course, so he came to ask me, he said, so how many days do you need? He's like, now say for example, you want to learn motor mechanics. Right? So you go to a mechanic. He said, how many days I need now that you can teach me now how to do this thing? How many days? In this relationship is no cause. There's no cause. We continue hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Till maut, till death. You can't get tired on this road. You can't see now how long I'm carrying on, how long I'm going to stay from guna, how long I'm... No. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say, raah par ٹھک کے جو بیٹھ جائے وہ اس سفر کے قابل نہیں ہے. That person who he gets tired now, a few days he does something, after a, it's too much now. It's too heavy now. I can't carry on like this. That Hasina Bibi, I deleted her number, but I can still remember it. I deleted it from the phone, but can't remember my mummy's number, but Hasina's number I can remember. So, never mind, let me just check on her. So, 3 months I stayed away. Cigarette I gave up 2 months. Drugs I stayed away so many months. Music I didn't listen so long. YouTube videos I stayed away for a while. Now how long I'm going to stay away? Now, let me just check. Now, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's time, there was no YouTube and all that, right? Or maybe it was the latter portion. It started off. But he used to always warn, say, see, you gave up watching television, all these movies and everything, you gave it up. Now sometimes Shaitan will tempt you. I don't know now, now we don't even read newspaper anymore, right? But those days in the newspaper, so in the back of the newspaper, all the new movies coming out for that week in the cinema, they used to have an ad there. So Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, don't even open to check. Now what new movies are on the circuit now? Because you're going to open and check there, I say, hey, this one was my favorite actor. How this one? Alright, this last one I'll just... Reminds me, there was one person, he had some ilm also, and one businessman, right? So this person with ilm, he was trying to give up smoking. Right? Trying to give up the smoking. So for a while now, he wasn't smoking, gave it up. So he went to meet this businessman, they had some calm together. So that fellow offered him a cigarette. Because he knew he used to smoke before. So he offered him one cigarette. So he told him, he said, hey, boy, I'm trying to stop men. So therefore, I told him, yeah, you'll stop men. Now one more is not going to make no difference. Just have one. Bichara till today is smoking. He went to take that one more. That one more never stopped. Till today is smoking. So Hazrat Rahmatullahi used to warn, because Shaitan, he knows what's our weakness. Each one of us, our weakness is different. He knows where to catch us. He knows what we were involved in. What we were involved in, which honey we finished taste. He knows. So he's going to keep bringing that thing. He's going to keep bringing that thing. I can catch this fellow with this. I can catch him with that. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Namad Barakatu, he always gives this example. He says that a fisherman, he puts his bait, and he makes sure the presentation, everything is very good, and now he casts the thing into the water. So one young fish, full of energy and strength and everything, is going for this bait. So one elderly fish comes to the youngster. He says, see bhai, I finished go through this. But I was lucky that I came off the hook. Right? So don't touch that thing. Say, why? Say, bhai, you see that bait? Now here in the Gauteng, they use different bait because they're catching different fish, right? In the Natal, they use sardine, one sardine fish. So, so you see that sardine, inside the sardine there's a hook. And that hook is attached to a line. And that line is attached to a reel. And there is a man, he's holding that reel and that rod. The moment you're going to touch that thing, he's going to hook you. And then he's going to pull you. You won't have any control. You won't be able to move. All your fins, your tail, nothing is going to help you. We won't be able to come to your rescue. He will pull you right out of the water. When you come out, you won't be able to breathe. You'll be battling to breathe. You'll be jumping on the sand. But nobody is going to help you. Then that man, he got two hands with 10 fingers. He's going to come and grab you. And that same hook what he put in the mouth, he's going to yank it out. He's not going to worry about your pain. He's not going to worry about anything. And then he got 5 other friends. They too got two hands with 10 fingers. And then they're going to take you. They're going to take all your scales out. Cut all your fins out. Cut you up, take your guts out. And then they got a pot there with a hot oil. They're going to throw you inside there. And you will burn. And it doesn't end there. After you burnt, still they got no mercy. Now they'll take you. Each one of them, they got 32 teeth in their mouth. Now with that same fingers, they will chew you, break you into pieces and chew you up and eat you up. So that young fish, he say, Mota, you just trying to deprive me of a meal. I can't see no hook, I can't see no line, I can't see no 10 fingers, 32 teeth and whatever you talking about, I'm going for it. What this old man knows. And then when he goes and takes it, now it's too late. Now when he starts getting pulled, and he wants to come out, it's too late. So this is exactly what Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. I'm trying to hold you by your waist and save you, but you're going headlong in the wrong way. I'm trying to keep all these moths out of the fire, but they are going headlong into that fire. This is this deen. Allah Ta'ala is telling us what to do, what not to do. You do this, you're going to end up in a problem. There is a place called Jannat, there is a place called Jahannam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, you do this, you will benefit. You do that, it will harm you. And what we saying? I can't see anything. Now I'm going to try that thing out. And then sometime it's too late. You look at a person who's caught up in his drugs. Now, even he wants to come out of it. He too wants to come out of it. But he can't help himself now. So I'm hooked now. That person is having an affair. There was one youngster, Allah Ta'ala, make his maghfirat. But this youngster, he was having an affair with one woman. And now, she fell pregnant. So her brothers came to him. They told him that, now you better speak to your parents about it. You spoilt our sister now. Now she's expecting your child. Now you have to marry her. So you better talk to your parents about it. And you better get married to her. Now this bichara, he doesn't know how to broach the topic with his parents. He never talked for 1 week. These boys caught him again. They gave him a good hiding. So he went and did this to our sister. I'm telling you a real life story. I'm not telling you something fictitious, some made up thing. Real life, I'm telling you what happened. They caught him, they gave him a hiding, they threatened him. They said, but you got a couple more days. You make sure you go and tell your parents. You're making our sister suffer like this now. You go and tell your parents and you come and marry her. So he probably didn't have the courage now to go and tell his parents. This side, these people, they are threatening him. His mother came home after work. She opened the house door and the youngster is hanging from the ceiling. He's hanging, he's dead. He took his one side, he went and caused that problem. Other side, he committed suicide. Now, it's very exciting when you're having the affair. With today's time, they'll have all the pictures also. When they're sitting with their friends, they'll be showing, I got this one, I got that one. Everything, they'll be boasting. The person thinks he's the man. And now look at the end. How do we stand in front of Allah Ta'ala? How do we face Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So this process of Islam is to sort all this out. Number one, I must become obedient to Allah Ta'ala. I must follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I must sort out my akhlaq. My akhlaq. The main thing with sorting out akhlaq is humility. I must think nothing of myself. You start off akhlaq, akhlaq-i hamida starts off with tawheed. And finishes off with fana, annihilation. And then the mashayikh, they mention there is a stage beyond fana. It's called fana'ul fana. That the person has annihilated himself to such a degree that he doesn't even recognize his annihilation. In other words, his annihilation becomes his temperament, becomes his personality. That is who he is. It's not like he has to now make an effort to annihilate himself. Now, see one of our akabirin. He was on the train. And those of you that have traveled the trains in India, etc., by most of us, we're sitting here, we Indians from India. We come from a very dirty place. Very, very dirty. Right? So we mustn't have no pride about ourselves. So certain places are very clean, but generally there's a lot of filth everywhere. Allah Ta'ala, maybe because the population is so big, whatever the situation is, but a lot of dirt everywhere. So anyway, this Buzurg was traveling in a train. We're talking about fana ul fana. How you can annihilate yourself. Right? Our situation, if we got our own baby, our own child, our own baby, and that child got diarrhea and missed the nappy, hey, come taking me, he needs a nappy change, man. We can't change our own child's nappy. But now I see this new fathers, they're doing it. Because the kuffar are telling them, your wife is not having a baby, both of you all are having a baby. How is, I don't know. See, today you hear the youngsters talking, we're expecting a child. So you look out. Nothing, his stomach is still okay, we think, but we expecting a child. She's expecting a child, we're expecting a child. So today everything is gone haywire. But anyway, we don't want to clean. Forget our child. Allah maaf kare. We go to the toilet. When we finish, there's marks in the toilet. We can't clean our own marks. Our own marks in that pan, we used the toilet. We flushed. But that stool now it didn't clean properly. We can't bend down and clean our own dirt. We leave that dirt for the next person who's coming to use the toilet. He must, or the cleaner must come and clean that place. We can't clean our own dirt. Forget cleaning somebody else's dirt. That's our pride, our ego. Look at this Buzurg. He's on the train. On the train, there is a Hindu person. Hindu person traveling with his friend, and this Buzurg is there with few of his murids. And this Hindu person went to use the toilet. And he came back and he's telling his friend, he say, in our language, that thing is in a state. Even if you got diarrhea, you won't even need medication to stop the diarrhea. You saw the way the toilet is, don't have to use it. So he came, he sat down, and this Buzurg overheard him telling his friend that the toilet is very dirty. So this Buzurg, he didn't say anything. He just waited a little while, and he went. He didn't tell his murids to do it. He went himself. He went, he cleaned that toilet. Whose mess? He is teaching Bukhari Sharif. He's a muhtamim in the Darul Uloom. He got so many students, so many murids. He thinks nothing of it. He goes, he cleans the toilet. He comes back, quietly he tells that person that I think the cleaners came, toilet is clean now, if you need to use it, you rather go quickly. For who? For a Hindu. For a Hindu. This was the akhlaq of our elders. But at the same time, they didn't compromise their deen. They showed the akhlaq even to the non-Muslim. But they didn't compromise their deen with Abrahamic accord and interfaith and all that, no. We are mu'mineen, this is who we are. This is what we believe in. Where we can be of serve anybody, we'll show them our akhlaq, inshallah they become mu'mineen. But we won't cross the lines with our deen. So, when will a person be able to do that? What level of annihilation you must have? So first, First is this realization, Allah Ta'ala is watching me. I mustn't break Allah's law. I am ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My life must be according to the sunnah. And as a person progresses, more of the azmat of Allah Ta'ala comes in his heart. He gets the marifat of Allah Ta'ala. More he annihilates himself. I am nobody. I am nothing. I am just a slave. Right? He reaches a point where he is fana'ul fana. He has annihilated annihilation. It becomes him. That is him. He's no put on. That is just who the person is. So that ego is gone, that pride is gone, there's no anger left, nothing. So how are we going to get there? We need guidance. We need assistance. Right? Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahab, Daun Barakatuhu, so he quotes Hazrat Shakim Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, that milk you get from the milkman. In Urdu it sounds beautiful. Anything you want, you have to go to the person of that. Who is selling that? Who got that? You have to go to that person. So he says that Allah, you will get from the Allah walo. Our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is to recite this couplet. Jis qalb ki aahon ne, jis qalb ki aahon ne dil poonk diye laakhon, us qalb mein ya Allah kya aag lagi hogi. He said that heart that lit up the hearts of thousands. So what fire of love must be in that heart? So apne dil ko kisi jalte huye dil ke tareeb kar de. Ye aag lagti nahi, lagai jati hai. Now go and find a heart like that. Go and find a heart that has got the love of Allah Ta'ala. And now go and put your heart near that heart. Go and put your heart near that heart. And this fire of love will be lit in your heart. When that fire of love comes in the heart, now in the words of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib Daun Barakatuhu, he said, Pir, ye sirf aasan nahi hote hai, balke mazedar. Then this whole path of traversing, making islah, etc., it doesn't only become easy, it actually becomes enjoyable. It actually becomes enjoyable. That I want to become Allah's. So now, that person with the heart that's brimming with the fire of Allah Ta'ala's love, how are we going to find that person? So number one, that person, he must be someone who has spent time with a sheikh Kamil, and that sheikh Kamil has appointed him. Hazrat Shakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say very beautifully, La ta'khudu baba liman la baba lahu. Don't take somebody as a sheikh who had no sheikh on his head. He's self-appointed. So you can't go to that person. You have to go to somebody who went through some grounding. And his sheikh then had confidence that, no, this person here, he can now assist other people to get connected with Allah Ta'ala. So now go to that person. Now, a person, after the sheikh is gone too, can get corrupted. The sheikh gave the person khilafat, but he can get corrupted also after that. Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, they are masoom. They are sinless. They will not never ever do anything wrong. Nobody else has that protection. Nobody else has that protection. So, guidelines have been given that you got to observe this person's life. That this person is not an open, flagrant sinner. By and large, his life is in obedience of Allah Ta'ala, obedience of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when you are looking at him, you are reminded of Allah Ta'ala. When you are sitting in his majalis, then you are getting benefit. And when you have asked him for some treatment, that treatment benefited you. Every sheikh will have his own way of treating. But whichever way of treating, it must be within the ambit of the Shariat. You can't go out of the ambit of the Shariat. It has to be within the ambit of the Shariat. But every sheikh will have his own way of treating, his own tariqah. So now that tariqah must be good for you. You can't just get emotional in one bayan, and after the bayan they say that Hazrat is giving bayat, now you say, I became bayat. After that you got no contact with that sheikh, now when you go to him and you tell him, I got this problem, he tell you read 50 rakahs nafal namaz, now you're scratching your head and you're running in the opposite direction now. No, you got to attend the sheikh's majalis. Sit in the majalis. You say, no, now you know I'm getting benefit here. You start corresponding with that sheikh. Now whatever instructions the sheikh is giving you, you are carrying it out. You are finding benefit. Now once you have found that benefit and you're finding that your heart is clicking, you make, Allah Ta'ala gives you a positive feeling, then don't waste time. Then don't waste time because shaitan is going to try and derail you. So Mahazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Mahis Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that you must have, when you make taluk with your sheikh, then number one, you must be able to make ittila. That whatever my condition is, I must be able to talk and tell my sheikh. No use I'm coming in front of my sheikh and acting like a farishta. And then as soon as I go out, I'm gone on, I'm looking at pornography in my phone. In front of the sheikh, I'm nodding my head, in the majlis, everything, I'm sitting here. As soon as I go home, I turn into a tiger. My wife is taking cover. My children are taking cover. They don't want me to come. I hope his sheikh pulls a little bit longer. When he comes home, now all our sukoon is gone. He was only swearing and fighting and shouting. So then what kind of relationship is that with the sheikh? The sheikh also must have ikhlas. He mustn't have his gaze on the pockets of the murid. There was one person, he took bayat to one sheikh, you know. So every time that sheikh used to do his rounds, now you go by this murid's house, right, I need this, I need to go by that murid's house, I need this, I need that. So everything gets sorted out, he knows for the month he's sorted out. So now come next month, now he's do the round again, like, you know. So he gets sorted out. So this person, his wife was a little bit sharp. And she noticed that this fellow, he's just there and there. That sheikh only comes to get his parcel and gone. So that week when the sheikh's supposed to come, it so happened that this person, that time he needed to go out of the village. So he told his wife, you see, the Hazrat going to come. Whatever he wants, you give it to him. You don't hold back anything. Whatever he comes here, whatever he asks for, you give it to him. You know? But the wife, she said, this is my opportunity now to sort this problem out. Sort, make the Hazrat's isla too and this Murid Sahib's isla both. So when the sheikh came, the husband wasn't there. So he came there, so he asked the wife, he said, now where's my beloved Murid, you know? So the wife told him, he said, Hazrat, for your own benefit, you rather move it up quickly from here. Say, why? Said, that murid of yours, you don't know what happened to him, he's gone pagal. He is looking for you everywhere. He got one big stick in his hand. And he says, if he sees you, he is going to crack your head. So you better go quickly from here and don't come back here. So it's all right, take care, whatever. So he took his group and they're carrying on. In the meanwhile, the husband came. The husband came, asked the wife, Hazrat came. So yeah, he came. He said, so you gave him whatever he wanted. He said, no. He wanted my washing stick. They used to use a big danda to wash the clothes, you know. He wanted my washing stick. I can't. But you should have given it to him. So she said, but then how am I going to wash the clothes? Leave washing the clothes, we would have got you another stick. But you couldn't hold that back, give it to him. So she told him, all right, if it's such a big deal, he's not gone too far. Take the stick and go. Go give it to him. So Bichara, he took the stick. And he's running now. That kafla saw him, they told the sheikh, "Bhai, this fellow's wife wasn't talking nice. This fellow is coming for you." So the sheikh started running. This fellow started running. Mazhar Sahib used to say, one was running out of love, the other one was running out of fear. The one running out of fear, he won the race. So it mustn't be like that. The murid, the sheikh got his gaze on the murid's pockets now. What I can get out of this one? Then there won't be no fayda. And the murid also, he too mustn't have pretense. Some people, they come, they say, no, I need stock for my shop. So that wholesaler, he sits in this Hazrat's majlis. So let me also come and surround there. Then when I go, after 2-3 months, I'll go and ask him for stock on udar. So he'll know I'm in the majlis. So how is he going to tell me no? So he'll give me stock. After that, he is gone, the stock is gone, everything is gone. One youngster came to Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. All of a sudden, he just came every namaz, he waits for Hazrat. Wherever Hazrat is, you go stand next to him. Where Hazrat reads his sunnats, he reads his sunnats there. First time, nobody can go stand next to Hazrat. Everybody thought, what an ashik came away, you know. What an ashik came. A couple of weeks later, Hazrat got one phone call. Said, Mohammed Patel Sahib, we just need one reference on one youngster. He proposed for our daughter. And he says, he's very close to you. So Hazrat asked, kya naam hai? They gave the name. He said, oh, larka, the same one. So Hazrat told the father, he said, he reads namaz very close to me. More than that, I don't know anything. So people have different motives. So that mustn't be. We must go with ikhlas, that I really want to put my life right. And then I must be an open book. I must be able to make ittila. Whatever my deepest, darkest secret. What happened in the past, you made tawbah for it, but that's finished. You don't have to talk about it. Who you dated in high school and what you smoked behind the school toilet. No, that's finished. It's gone. You don't have to talk about it now. But after you take bayat, now something goes wrong, you go and tell your sheikh. Even if something went wrong, and after that you stopped it, now you say, no, but I stopped it. I don't tell Hazrat now. I figured this one out. Maybe I'm on the launch pad for Khilafat, because I'm making my own Islam. Right? So I don't tell Hazrat this now. No, you go and tell that this is what happened to me. Sometime you go, some problem, you came and sit down in the majlis, Hazrat made the sheikh talk about the same thing. Now you say, alright, so I don't have to make ittila now. Hazrat spoke about it. That must be my maqam. You know what I mean? We got this direct contact, mental telepathy and everything is happening here. We are connecting in the heavens. What I think Hazrat speaks about. No, you still go and tell. Because each isla is a different thing. Just this morning, right? I was speaking to one person who was very close to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Made a lot of khidmat of Hazrat also. So he was telling me that I'm not getting involved in the chicken saga. I'm just telling you one incident. Right? I'm not, no halal certification, nothing. I'm just telling you one incident now. So one person, he wrote to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. He said that in Johannesburg airport, there is one takeaway there. They are certified by certain body. So I'm flying. So can I eat over there? So Hazrat wrote to him, says, see, you rather adopt ihtiyat, eat at home. Eat at home or carry something. No need to eat there. And carry on with your safar. Right? So a few weeks later, another person to Gani. And he also asked exactly the same question. That can he eat there? So this person, at that particular time, Hazrat was suffering with a tennis elbow. So he couldn't answer all the letters himself. So he used to remove the names, read the letter, and tell that person to write. That person didn't know whose letter he's answering. He only heard the question, and Hazrat is telling him what to write. So when he heard the question, in his mind, 3 weeks ago we answered this, so I know what I'm going to have to write here. But to his surprise, Hazrat told him to write, Jibai, no problem, you eat there, you eat over there, and you carry on your safar. So now this fellow is confused now. So how come now? So you must understand something. Your sheikh is not a da. The sheikh is making islah. He knows what is this person's situation, what is that person's situation. And he will guide them. He needs to take this person there, right? But this person is not ready for that just yet. So he will know how to take him there. That person is somewhere else. He knows how to take him further. So this person who was the Katib, so he asked Hazrat after that. He said, Hazrat, a couple of weeks ago, same sawal came, we gave that jawab. Now this sawal came, we're giving different jawab. So Hazrat then explained to him, so see, bhai, this person here is a South African, right? He lives close to the airport. He can eat at home, and he can go. There's no problem. Why does he want to go and eat there in the takeaway, right? This person here, he comes from a totally different background. He's traveling with his in-laws who are from an even different background, right? And they are coming from the States. They're coming from America. That takeaway there is some certification. There is some certification. So we can't say it's totally haram. And this person, they live a different life. They're eating everything, they're doing everything. So that's why I told him, no problem, you can eat there. When the time comes for him, he starts developing some taqwa, he starts progressing, then we will take him to the next level. That's see, by this takeaway is eating out and everything. It's not a good thing for a mu'min, not a good thing for a believer. Right? Now this eating out culture, a very big thing in Gauteng. And in Natal, it becomes very big when the Gautengers come there. Right? You see, but the Natal people are also guilty. Whole places. And, I always tell our people back home, see, by the man says he loves his parents, right? He loves his children. He loves his wife. But on Saturday night, Friday night, he kicks them all out of the house. And then he goes with them and he sits on the pavement and he eats. Because you see these takeaways, they put table and chair outside on the pavement in front of the gutter. He puts his wife there, he puts his daughter there, mother there, father there. Put your parents on the pavement to eat. So this eating out culture is not a good thing for us. I'm not going into all this, all the halal, haram and all that. Just the eating out. Even if it is 100% halal place, they're giving you unstunned chicken, unstunned everything. The eating out culture is not for us. out of zarurat, necessity, sometime if there is a place proper, wife is not well, your musafir, something, you out of your town, a different story. But to make it a habit every week, we have to eat out. Some people, every day they're eating out. At home, they got the best of pots, best of stoves, granite tops, Caesar stone, and oh, what and what. But they don't cook. That's all like a museum. They don't cook, they don't use it. Some wives, they say, this day, chaile. Finish this. Kitchen is closed. So it mustn't be like that. We eat at home. Our wives, our daughters, our mothers, they read tahajjud namaz, they read fajr namaz. They wash their hands after they go toilet. Those people working in all those takeaways, do you know whether they're washing their hand after they go toilet? You don't know. So our mothers, they will wash their hand. When they're cooking, they will read some Durood Sharif, some Istighfar, some Quran Sharif, and they're cooking out of love. They cook, they want to feed their families. How much of ruhaniyat will be in that food? So this thing we must try and cut it out. If we can, cut it out totally. If we can't, then cut it down. With the intention of cutting it out. So, coming back to what we were saying, that the sheikh mustn't, the murid also, he must have ikhlas, that he must be an open book. Right? He mustn't cut corners and hide and all that. Sometimes the murid thinks that, you know what, if I'm going to tell the sheikh, what is going to think of me? Wallahi, brothers, I'm telling you, when you open up to your sheikh, and you tell your sheikh your condition, you become the beloved murid. Now don't do it to become a beloved murid now. This is another musibat today, man. Now you tell the person, now you go make up on sickness and go tell also to become the beloved murid. All funny, funny things happen today, man. Now, you must be honest. That's the thing. Be honest in your relationship with your sheikh. Say what in honesty, what your situation is. Your sheikh will then guide you. There was one youngster, he had a swearing habit, you know, to swear every second word. So now he's battling to give the swearing up. So eventually it was told to him, he says, see, bhai, you keep one notebook in your pocket. Every time you swear, you make a note of it, put one mark. And in the night, you count how many marks. For every mark, you read 2 rakats namaz. 25 times, you're going to read 50 rakats namaz. In 4 days, he gave it up. 4 days, he stopped swearing. One side, the sheikh must be making dua for him. Other side, he is sincere, he wants to give up this thing. And then the nafs is catching, hiding now. How I'm going to read 50 rakats now? Rather, don't do this thing. So the sheikh, he will give each person different remedies. Because he is a spiritual doctor. He understands how to work with this person. Like a physician, if this man got sugar, he can't prescribe for him honey. Although honey is beneficial, that person, he tell him to have honey. Because he don't have a diabetes problem. So the sheikh understands this person, what is his problem. That person, what is his problem. So your relationship with your sheikh is not what you heard from the fellow murid. You go talk to your sheikh directly. And then a lot of murids, they say, no, I know Hazrat is very busy, I don't want to trouble. Then why you took bayat? If Hazrat is so busy, you don't want to trouble, then why you took bayat? And if the Hazrat is too busy and he can't help you, then why he accepted you in bayat? The Hazrat also, he must accept when he knows that I can help. I got the time to help. That's why he allowed you to take bayat. So now you must take advantage of it. You must take advantage of it. When you got a situation, you must ask. Now, if you're going to think that, no, the Shaykh is too busy, so then why you took bayat then? And if the Hazrat, he got no time for you, then why he allowed you to take bayat? Understand? So when the Shaykh allowed you to take bayat, that means he will make time for you. Shaitan is bluffing you that, no, he's too busy, I don't want to trouble him. So each time something goes wrong in your life, you ask him. Now he will guide you, he will guide you. You lost your temper, you tell him. He will tell you what to do. And slowly, slowly you become more conscious of it, more conscious of it. Your akhlaq is coming right. So your ita'at is there to Allah Ta'ala, to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Your akhlaq is coming right. That ego is going down. That pride is gone. You are conscious of Allah Ta'ala. Your salah is becoming now a quality salah. Your tilawat is becoming a quality tilawat. You are mindful of Allah Ta'ala all the time. This is what this islah is about. Now some people, and we'll conclude on this now, a few more minutes. Right? Some people, when they just take bayat, they start seeing one, two dreams. It happens. Start seeing one, two dreams. Right? Some basharat, etc. You start making zikr. You see, to understand ourselves, right? You take a small child and you buy a new toy for the child. Give him a new toy. He can't leave that toy. He is excited with that thing. 6 months later, that toy is in the bottom of the box, broken. He don't want it. So the novelty, the novelty wore off, right? So novelty is to do with emotions, right? So now, we're not making zikrullah, we're not making tahajjud namaz. Now when I took bayat to the Shaykh, now I'm going to wake up for tahajjud. Now Hazrat woke up for tahajjud first time in like 3 years, right? He woke up for tahajjud now, even a musalla. He's feeling some other things. Even in the sajda, he's crying uncontrollably. He said to make his tasbih after that. Maybe even his saliva went to be sweet. Such experiences, kayfiyat is experiencing. Now, 6 months ke baad, that novelty, it became adat now. He's waking up for tahajjud every day. Now there's no fireworks now. He's waking up for tahajjud. He's being in sajda. He's not just breaking down when he speaks Allah Akbar. Now he's not going into like, you know. The first day he said, now I know what that thing is, man. If an arrow was in my leg too, they could have pulled it out. I wouldn't have felt anything. 5 months down the line, now I can't even concentrate now. What's happening now? I'm catching fish in my tahajjud now. I'm falling off to sleep in my zikr. Now what's happening? So now he thinks, now I'm retrogressing now. I took bed to the wrong Sheikh. His prescription, the Hazrat gave me, make this zikr, that zikr. I don't think he knows what he was talking about. Because I'm going backwards now. I was better off before I started doing all this. You must remember, initially when we start, there's novelty, right? Then it becomes adat. After adat, it becomes ibadat. Because now we're continuing for Allah's pleasure, not for our pleasure. We're not reading the tahajjud for my emotion. You know how I'm feeling. I'm going for the majlis, not because even I go on majlis, no, I start tearing. No, it's not about that. It's about putting my life right. I'm going for Allah's pleasure. Whether I get emotional, whether I don't get emotional, that got nothing to do with it. I'm not worshipping me. I'm worshipping Allah Ta'ala. Long as Allah Ta'ala is happy, mera kaam ban gaya. I don't have to worry about anything else. Your wife loves whole nut chocolate. You can't eat whole nut. You want dairy milk, plain. But she likes whole nut chocolate. You buy her the whole nut, right? You don't tell her, no, I don't like this whole nut. You eat this plain dairy milk because I like plain dairy milk. That's what makes me happy. No, you buy for her what she likes because you love her. So you do your ibadat for Allah Pak, what Allah loves. Not what I feel like doing. The mashayikh prescribe for us our muamalat. Do this, read that, do so much zikr, do this, do that. Now you got to stick to that thing. Initially you're enjoying it. After that there's no enjoyment. You got to stick to it. That's what will defeat the nafs. Istiqamat. The nafs don't want istiqamat. Now you're doing it for Allah path. Even there's no enjoyment, you're doing it for Allah path. Right? There's two more concepts. Quickly I'm going to run through it. One is, a person, he just gets pulled to Allah Pak. Jazb. He just gets pulled to Allah Pak. Right? All of a sudden, he went for an ijtima somewhere, or somebody passed away in the family, or he met some buzurg somewhere, anything, some, right? And he just got pulled to Allah Pak. Right? And the other road is, a person, he realized, I'm making so much guna. Now he makes mujahada. Right? He makes mujahada until he gives up his... The other person just got pulled. To give up everything became so easy. Overnight, he just threw everything away. Finished. And he's a new person. The other person, it was a process. Right? Both these roads are fine. Allah Ta'ala will choose... He wants to take the person through which road? Right? Both the roads are fine. But whether we came through jazb or we came through mujahada, the mujahada will have to continue till maut. Even if you came through jazb, after that, mujahada will have to continue till maut. The last concept is qabz and bast. In this journey of the soul, sometime you feel very close to Allah Pak. Right? You're feeling very close to Allah Pak. And sometime you feel disconnected. Right? You feel disconnected. So when this happens, you feel disconnected. Immediately we must take imtihan of ourselves. Right? Immediately we must check what our mashayikh say, muhasaba, right? Make muhasaba. Did any guna come into my life? Am I indulging in something? Something crept in unwittingly, something came away. Make tawbah, make istighfar, get back online. But after making muhasaba, I check and there's nothing. I'm trying, I'm doing everything as I was doing, but I'm feeling this disconnected feeling. Don't be worried. There's nothing to worry about. Long as you are continuing in your line of obedience, then there's nothing to worry about. Right? The disconnected feeling is there to take you to the next level. The disconnected feeling, you enter the hotel. There is a lobby, there is a lounge, suite, everything. Right? But if you want to go to your room, you have to go in the lift. When you go in the lift, you feel you're deprived of all that lobby and the smart lounge, suite, everything that was here. The lift closes. You're in a small, confined space. Right? Like a jail. Right? And now it's going up. You come up, and now you come to another floor. You're so much higher. You can see so much more. You go to your room. If by now I can make aram. I've got my own lounge suite here now. Not a communal one down there. My own one. My own bed. My own bathroom. Everything is. Plus there's a fruit bowl here also. Everything is here. So that when you are in ita'at, you're doing everything, and all of a sudden you just get this disconnected feeling. Right? Don't be despondent. Continue. Allah Ta'ala, inshallah Ta'ala, is taking you higher. You are going to a next level. You are going to a next level. Slowly, you will find again, you are now feeling the connection with Allah Ta'ala. So, the connection that I feel, the disconnection that I feel, got nothing to do with it. Allah is in charge. He's taking me. I must just trust in Him. He's taking me. I can inform my sheikh, can tell him what I'm experiencing. He will give me some advices and I will continue. But don't become despondent. There's no despondency. Don't become despondent. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to explain it. He said that if the father, he bought something for the child, he bought it for the child, he knows he's going to give it to the child. But now when the child comes, say, no, not now. I'll give you later. Not now. Then eventually when he got it now the child wants it. The father is enjoying the child's attention on him. He said, open my hand and take it. That child is battling, trying to open one finger, another finger. Father got his hand closed. Then the father puts his hand up. The child is trying to jump, trying to get it, can't reach there. Father puts it behind his back. Child goes there, brings it in the front. The child is crying. He wants it. But the child doesn't leave the father. The child doesn't get fed up. Oh, you don't want to give me a DVD. The child carries on. And the father is enjoying it. He knows he's going to give it. And eventually grabs the child and gives it to the child. So like that, when you feel that disconnected feeling, try more. Stay there. Why? Where are we going to go? There is no other door. Where are we going to go? We have to stay there. You stay there. And then Allah Ta'ala will give it. Hazrat Imam Rasulullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, that Hadith Sharif, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that Allah Ta'ala says, person takes one step, and Allah Ta'ala take two steps, person come one handspan, Allah Pak comes so much. And then in the end of the Hadith, say the person come walking to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak comes running to that person. Right? So Hazrat Imam Rasulullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he used to explain it, he used to say, Allah Pak takes you in his lap. So Allah Pak takes you in his lap. And now you feel different. Allah Pak got you. Allah takes you in his lap. Now there's so many things. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, then Allah Pak becomes the eyes by which you see, the ears by which you hear, the hands by which you touch, the feet by which you walk. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, put your nur in my eyes. Put your nur in my hearing. Put your nur in my mouth. Put your nur in my heart. Put your nur in my whole body. Make me an embodiment of nur. So all that comes. All that comes. But we don't have to worry about it. It's no cause. You don't have to tick the boxes. Just stay online. That's all. We just have to stay online. That's all. Allah Ta'ala will do the rest. So Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah Pak give you tawfiq. We're all searching for this love of Allah Ta'ala, this love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We all want that maut ke waqt, we must read kalima. Allah take us away with iman. Allah is pleased when our soul goes to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is pleased. And that soul is addressed as a nafs-e mutmainna. All of us want that. And on day of Hashr, our Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be pleased with us. Make sifarish for us. These are the things we are aspiring for. So this is this road. This is this path. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, make it easy for us, and cause us to traverse this path with ease, with afiyat. Allah be pleased with us. Give us tawfiq to make mukammal islam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil